Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139. And if we could all turn there. And we're just going to read one verse of scripture, well, two verses of scripture. And what I would like to do is each time we meet for the next few days, that we will start with this verse, or these verses, and to say them and then to pray them. So Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. All right, let's read it together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. All right, let me hear the men say this verse together. All the men together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay, let's hear the beautiful voices of the ladies together. Go. Okay, and let's one more time together, everyone together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What I'm going to ask you to do now is to quietly and prayerfully, you say those two verses as a prayer to God for him to search us tonight, and then I will pray for the message. Search us tonight, O God. Help us to find any areas of our lives where we are not pleasing to you, so that we can make the changes necessary to lead us on the path of doing right in your sight. Father, we are thankful that you have given us the strength to meet here tonight. Thank you for each person that is out. Thank you for each person that is watching now live and who may actually watch this even later. God, we know that you have brought everyone together around your word because you have something for us. You want to share something with us. And so I pray that I would just be an empty vessel moved over to the side and being used by you tonight to proclaim the truth that we all need to hear. And so I pray that you would be honored and glorified. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you've ever heard of the woman by the name of Florence Chadwick. If you've heard of Florence Chadwick, would you raise your hand? Okay, nobody. All right, Florence Chadwick, back in the 1950s and even earlier than that, she was a long-distance swimmer. So she would swim the different channels and the different long distances, and she did that by herself. Well, this time came and she wanted to do a very long swim. So she was going to swim from Catalina Island to the California coastline, 26 miles in the ocean. So she got together with some folks, and as she started the journey, she began to swim. And she had some boats on the side going with her just to make sure everything was okay. She swam for approximately 15 hours. After the 15th hour, a fog set in, and it was very difficult to see. So there were several things that she couldn't see. Number one, she couldn't see the boats that were swimming with her or going with her. She couldn't see the sharks that were circling around her, and she couldn't see the shoreline or her destination where she was going. So once the fog set in, mentally drained, physically drained after being in the ocean for 15 hours, she told the people in the boat, she said, "Take me out of the water." Her mother was in one of the boats. And as any good mother, she said, "No, stay in the water and continue swimming." But ultimately, she said, "I give up." They took her out of the water. When she got into the boat and had already quit, she found out she was half a mile from her destination. They did an interview with her later that day or that week. And she said, "I'm not making any excuses for myself. But if I had seen the shoreline, I wouldn't have quit. If I had seen the shoreline, I wouldn't have quit." I want you to take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to Luke chapter number 18 as we look at the words of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter number 18. And in Luke chapter 18, it starts with a very powerful verse in verse number 1. And the verse says, "And he," Jesus, "spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." What a powerful verse. What is so powerful is to see the men pray tonight. And so it lines right up. Everything is lining right up for what I believe God wants for us. And again, our prayer is that God would search us so that he could point out any areas of our life where we need to correct, where we need to change. And he says these words. He says, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." There's a couple of things that I want to just point out in that verse, and then we're going to go into the parable. First of all, what is a parable? I try to be very careful, Pastor Bez, about saying, now we all know what a parable is, because not everybody may know what a parable is, okay? So a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So what Jesus will do is he would take a very simple story that you could understand. Like if you want to tell someone about, you heard the story of the hare and the tortoise, right? Where the hare is running fast, and then he breaks and goes to sleep because he is running past the tortoise or the turtle, but the tortoise and the turtle just keeps on going, and ultimately the turtle wins. And the lesson is that didn't happen. There was never really a race between a turtle and a hare or a rabbit. But the lesson is, be persistent. Don't give up. So what Jesus does is he will get some earthly stories to prove a heavenly point. So he says, he's about to get this parable, and he says that men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray. To be the one who shows prayer in the home, in the community, in the church, we should be the ones that promotes it, that exemplifies what prayer ought to be. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to quit. You know, it's easier to quit when you're not praying about a situation. It's easier to give up. It's easier, just like Florence Chadwick, after all those months, those weeks, those years of praying for a situation, you give up. And you say, "I'm going to stop praying for that situation because I don't think God's going to answer this prayer." So we give up. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So now Jesus is going to give a parable, which is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, about the fact that we ought to continually pray to God and not give up. So the parable starts like this, saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So let's just take this verse piece by piece. We're just going to walk through it and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, because we've already asked him to search us. So now let's just see what the Word of God has for us. The Bible says, there was in a city a certain judge. Now remember, this is a story. So this didn't really happen. It's a story. The turtle didn't run against the hare, but there is a lesson in the story. So with this parable, there was a city and there was a judge. Now, a judge was a fancy term, and I want to make sure everybody understands on all levels. He was an arbitrator, someone who looked at a situation where there might be one person says A, the other person says B. So what do? You go to the judge. And the judge will tell you, hey, I think we better go with A, or no, we better go with B. So the judge was the person who had the final say. Depending on the size of the city, there could be several judges. So with this particular parable, we recognize it was probably a small city because there seemed to be only one judge. So there was this judge in this small city that would say X or Y or what have you. He would say what goes and what doesn't go. So there was a judge in the city which feared not God, neither regarded man. He was not religious. He was not spiritual. He didn't care about spiritual things. He had nothing to do with the Bible. He had nothing to do with God. He could care less about church. He could care less about the things that the Bible speaks about. He feared not God, neither regarded man. He didn't care if you were rich. He didn't care if you were poor. He didn't care if you were black. He didn't care if you were white. He didn't care if you were American. He didn't care if you were Bahamian. He didn't like God, and he didn't like people. And this is called, he is known as the unjust judge. And one of the reasons he is known for being an unjust judge is the fact that a judge is supposed to be someone who fears God and loves people and is honest and is right and is, you know, he's supposed to be these things. So he's considered this is called the unjust judge, the parable of the unjust judge, because he was none of the things that he should have been. So it says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So we have the person who has all the power. He has the final say in the city. That's the first person in the scene. The second person comes on the scene in verse number 3. It says, and there was a widow in that city. A widow, of course, is a woman whose husband has passed away. Now, you got to understand, back in these times, that was very significant, because the men were the ones who would go to work. The men were the ones who brought home the bacon. It's not as it is today where both men and women can work. It you know, that was not normally the case. So when that husband died, all the bills fell on this lady who may or may not have even had a job. So now we have two situations. Number one, she lost her husband. And if anybody in here has ever lost someone close to you, you know that it takes time to heal. You know, you don't just, you know, flip a switch and, okay, now we're back to normal. No, it takes time to heal. And this was her husband. It's not necessarily known if she has children, but her first problem was that she was a widow in that city. And then it says, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine enemies. So now we have some other people in the story. Her enemies. Who were the enemies? Again, this is a story with a heavenly meaning. The enemies were probably the debt owners, or the people who owned the debt that her husband was paying on. Think of it like this. You have a mortgage. Your husband is paying the mortgage. He dies, and the bank says, now we're coming back for you. But my husband died. Well, we don't care that your husband died. You still owe us for this mortgage. They could care less that her husband died. And so what would happen in this time in the Bible, if she did have children, they would say, if you can't pay your debt, then give me some of your sons. So now this woman has to deal with this thought. I've already lost my husband. Now you're telling me I could lose my children? So here she is. Verse number 3, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me, rescue me, save me, help me of mine enemy. Notice verse 4. And he would not. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got a soft spot when women start crying. Okay? You women are wonderful creatures of God, and you have a way of turning on that faucet, and I cannot stand to see a woman cry. If I see a woman cry, I just say, here, whatever you want. Take the money, do whatever. I don't. Men, do you understand? Are you with me, men? You don't want to see a woman cry. So could you imagine now this woman comes crying to the judge, saying, judge, my husband died. He owes money, and they want to take my children. And she's crying, and she's weeping, and she's sobbing. And the judge says, I don't care. Next case. So the verse says, and he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Let me tell you what happened. This woman came to the judge. She lost her husband. Her husband owed money, or their family owed money, and the people came and they said, we're going to take your sons, or we're going to take your house, we're going to take whatever we can to repay the debt that your husband didn't pay. We don't care that he's dead. She goes to the judge. The only person now that can help her in this situation is the judge. There's nobody else in the city. There's no city council. There's no lawyer. There's no anything else. The last person with the last say is the judge. So she goes to the judge. She says, judge, here's my situation. My husband died. He owed money. They want to take the house. They want to take the children. Judge, you got to help me. Judge says, no. Woman says, you don't seem to understand my situation. Bailiff, take her out. Bailiff, I can imagine the bailiff's coming, taking her out, taking the woman out. Said, okay, go over here. Next case. And the widow stands and she just waits. And then the judge finishes all his cases and she says, and he says, any more cases? Here's the widow. Last case right here, Your Honor. My husband died. He owed money. And they want to take the house and the children. I need your help. And he said, you again? Didn't I? Bailiff! Can't get a good bailiff around here. Take her away. Take her away. Judge, help me, please, judge. Judge, help me, please, please. The judge says, whew, that's one crazy woman. Judge says, well, court dismissed. We're going for lunch. Going for lunch. Judge sits down. Maybe one of his other friends or whatever. He don't have friends because he don't like people. Sitting down, getting ready to eat his lunch. Your Honor, I'm the woman from the courtroom. My husband died. He owed money. They want to take the house and the children. And Your Honor, I know you're trying to eat lunch. It looks good. It looks wonderful. You're eating some wonderful steak from Texas. That's great. But Your Honor, if you don't help me, nobody else could help me. I need you to please help me. judge gets up and he says, "This woman, get away from me. I'm going home." Judge decides to go home and he sits on his porch, sits inside his house, says, "Let me turn on the TV. Two of you caught that. Let me just see what's happening in this cold world." "Your Honor, it's me. It's the woman from the courthouse. Don't you understand? You're the only person who could help me. My husband died. He owed money. They want to take the children. Your Honor, you have to help me, please. There's nobody else. There's nobody else that could help me. Your Honor, would you help me, please? Get away from the house." He goes to bed. He goes in the bathroom. He's walking down the street. "Judge, judge, please help me. I'm the woman from the courtroom. You got to help me. There's nobody else that can help me. Judge, would you please help me?" And he said, "You ever reach it? Well, you could take so much. Everybody in here can take so much, right? Then you get on what we call your last nerve. Everyone in here has a last nerve. Now, I don't care how calm you are, and how relaxed and how nice and, hey man, that doesn't bother me, I'm cool. Every one of us has a last nerve. And this woman was able to find this judge's last nerve to where the judge says, 'Okay, what do you need?'" As if he hadn't heard it 1,000 times already. "My husband died. He owes money. And they want either my children or the house, and I don't want to give up any. Your Honor, would you help me, please?" And the judge says, "Here, you take this to your adversaries. You take this to the people you owe and tell them, I said they cannot take anything away from you. Okay? Yes, Your Honor. Is there anything else you need?" "No, Your Honor. Thank you so much. Don't worry about thank you. Just don't bother me anymore." In verse number 5, notice what he says. "Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." He was talking about getting beat black and blue because this woman kept on bothering him, pesterizing him, following him, questioning him, asking him, bugging him, just saying, "Help me, help me, help me, help me." And he said, "I'm going to help you. Catch this now, folks. Catch this now. Please catch this. Please, please. I'm going to catch you, help you. Not because I love you, but because I want to get you off my back. I don't love you. I don't care about your situation. I could care less that your husband died. I can care less about these adversaries. I can care less about your children. You just keep on bothering me. So because you are persistently bothering me, you're going to get what you want." Everybody with me? That's the parable. What's the point? Notice verse 6. "And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Jesus comes and he breaks this story down and he shares this story about this widow. And he says, here's the point. If a judge who doesn't fear God and who doesn't love people could answer this person's request. What do you think about a God who is holy and who loves you so much that he gave you his only begotten son? You don't think he wants to answer your request? If an unjust, unsaved, wicked, no loving person can do that for a woman who was hopeless and helpless, what about a God who loves us, who died, who sent his son to die for us, and he says, call unto me and I will answer thee. He's waiting to hear from us. He wants to hear, but here's the problem. We quit when we're so close. We're just like Florence Chadwick, because sometimes things get so foggy. Sometimes we faint. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we're praying for God to help in this direction and the situation is going in the opposite direction. So preacher, what does God want me to do when I'm praying for this situation? Nothing is happening. What does he want me to do? Keep on praying. Keep on praying. You know what a lot of people fail to realize? Prayer changes. You have the saying, prayer changes things, right? Prayer changes us. One of the things we can look at with this COVID situation, we could say, hey, one of the things that happened was some families, not of course not all, but some families had the opportunity to spend more time together than they ever had before. Guess what prayer is? You spending time with God. Let me ask you a question. How much do you think you would have prayed if you didn't have that situation in your life? God sometimes puts situations in our lives because he wants us to communicate with him even more. And we're upset that God's not answering our prayer requests and God's saying, I'm loving having time with you. I'm loving hearing from you. I'm loving the fact that you're praying and you're crying and you're not just saying prayers. You know the difference, right? There's saying prayers and then there's praying. You can be all highfalutin and let us pray, Father God in heaven, we bow before your throne, your ivory throne up in heaven with the angels and the seraphims and the cherubims all around you, Father God. And Father God, we are here because we adore you and we love. That's saying prayers. You ever had a situation so bad, you fall on your face to pray and you don't even have words? I'll tell you this. God would rather you fall on your face and don't have any words to say in a spirit of prayer than 1,000 affluent words that sound really good and make people think you're spiritual. Say, preacher, I went to pray and I didn't even know what to say. I didn't even know how to form the words in my mouth. I didn't even know what to do. It's great. God wants us to be humbled. God wants to communicate with us. And I don't know what situation it is. And I don't know whether it's a family situation. I don't know whether it's a health situation. I don't know if it's a church situation. I don't know what it is. But I'm here tonight to tell you this. Don't stop praying. Because God wants to do something. Because God is telling us. Jesus is teaching us. If you could keep bothering and pestering an unsaved judge who don't like people, imagine going to the throne of God on a consistent basis, saying, God, would you help me? This week, myself and Pastor Bez, we were talking, and as we got a chance to pray this morning together, one of the things we realized, this week of meetings ain't about me. It's not about him. If we want to see revival, revival has to come when people say, you know what? I want to see the Lord. I want to see God in my life work and do great and awesome things. The preaching could be great or the preaching could be bad, but I want God, I want to hear from you. I'll be very honest with you. I am so encouraged by how many people are out tonight. This is an encouragement to me. And I just want to encourage you. Get everything you can out of this week of meetings. And maybe this week, you know what you say? You say, you know what? I'm going to turn off a couple of things. I'm going to put these aside because I don't want any distractions. I want to simply hear from God. Based on your dietary and your health, understanding that everyone's health is a little different, you may say, you know what? I'm not going to, when I should have been eating breakfast or lunch, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray and ask God to speak to me this week. I'm going to pray and ask God to speak to the church this week, to preach, to speak to Pastor and Pastor Ashton and the leadership of the church. And I'm going to just pray and I'm going to forfeit some food and I'm going to forfeit some games on my tablet and I'm going to forfeit some TV shows because I just want to hear from God and I don't want to waste any time because I need God to work on my behalf. A few months later, Florence Chadwick attempted it again. Catalina, California shoreline. She began swimming, and guess what happened again? Fog came down. She swam, and she swam, and she swam. She made it. When they interviewed her this time, Brother Felipe, here's what she said. She said, "This time I made it because although I couldn't see the shoreline because of the fog, I envisioned it in my mind." What are you praying about? Then why don't you envision how your situation will look once God answers your prayer? And when you bow to pray, don't look at how the situation looks now. You put in your mind and you say, you know what? I know God could work. I know God can change. I know God can do the impossible. So I'm going to pray with the view of Him in mind. Just want to encourage all of us. I would love to see some young people, some little kids, grab a hold of the throne of God and just pray this week and just pray after this week and just some fathers praying with their families and just having a time of prayer. If God has spoken to our hearts tonight, would you answer it? Would you do what God wants you to do? Would you pray about that situation that you would stop praying about? Let's fall before God tonight. Let's pray and ask for His help. Father, I pray now, God, for situations that are represented in this church. There are parents who are hurting. There are children who are hurting. There are people who are hurting. There are people who are looking for You to do things that only You can do. God, I pray that You would help us to be persistent, help us to be faithful, and help us to look beyond our situation and to look at You. God, help there to be some young people that would learn to pray this week, some fathers that would pray with their families, and some young single adults who will begin to pray. God, we look forward to what You're going to do. We ask these things in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. If God's spoken to your heart, you do whatever the Holy Spirit encourages you to do.